White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 495.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with the WarEagleReader.com, and by people like you. The Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, we did not have what you'd call a good football game Saturday, did we?
No.
All right, drive safely, everybody.
War Eagle, man.
War Eagle. That's all I have to say. I hope you have some stuff to carry us through the next little while. Yeah, man.
I have some thoughtful, detailed football analysis here for you. Are you ready for this?
Well,
we got our asses kicked.
Yeah. That's War Eagle, John. That's it, man. Man, there's not a lot positive really to take out of it, I don't think. So that's about the truth. Yeah, I was just I guess it's probably a psychological thing. I was just telling you that it was 7:50. We recorded 8 Central, and it was 7:59. And my wife said, "Don't you have a show?" And I was just sitting down on the couch turning on The Mandalorian. So I'm like, I've blanked it out. I just didn't even want to know we had a show tonight. So, we suffered through that one. All right, I'm going to say this, and I know how it's going to come across, and I know that people are going to second guess me, and people are going to, I'm not going to make anybody happy by saying this. But in my heart of hearts, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, I kind of suspected we were setting ourselves. I was hoping I was wrong, but it just felt like all the Auburn family on at least on Twitter that we keep up with, it felt like they were all basically saying that we were going to win because we wanted to win so badly. And I just felt like, I know Georgia didn't do great in their first game, and I know that we looked pretty good in the second half of ours, just like they did. But I still kept thinking, our problems play right into their strengths. And I look back now, and in some ways, I sort of regret being as optimistic as I was last week. I mean, we tend to be pretty positive on this show, but I feel like we were maybe in a little bit of denial. We were letting a couple of factors cloud our vision to other factors that should have been warning lights. What do you think about that?
I think that's very fair, and I take my share of responsibility for that denial and overly rosy view of this game. Going into Georgia to play the best defense of college football with a untested, shaky offensive line where we're still rotating people is not optimal.
It's a good way to lose 27-6.
Yeah, and we should have seen that part coming. That part, I think, was in hindsight pretty predictable. Now,
yeah,
I mean, the idea is, maybe, okay, yeah, the offensive line is performing great, but maybe Bo Nix throws some quick passes and we move the ball and stuff, but that didn't come close to happening.
I know. That was the thing, is that we had this fantasy that the offense was going to be all creative. They were going to use the tight ends. We were going to run the ball, and we didn't do any of that, really. I mean, We basically spent 60 minutes of football, and we didn't have the ball. I mean, what was the – here, you got the thing. What's the – here it is. What was the time of possession? Yeah. Here, let's see.
34 minutes for Georgia.
And that was – it was worse than that early on. It kind of stayed same.
It was – yeah, we caught up in the second half.
Yeah.
On the time of possession.
It felt like we spent the whole what time we had of that game on offense just trying to do clever pass plays that would get the ball to Flash or Pigues, I still don't know how to say it, or Ra. Piggies. I mean, yeah, Pigues or Tank. I felt like we didn't really seem like we were trying to get the ball to Seth. Maybe he was just double covered the whole game. I mean, in fact, honestly, if you know, looking back, I guess Kirby Smart's plan was you double cover Seth and you figure you can stop our running game without doing anything special, and you make Bo Nix beat you using the passing game with somebody other than Seth. And if you told me going in that that's what we're going to have to do, I'd have been like, ugh. Because
not just that, but then we have to beat them with somebody other than Seth, and Eli Stove didn't play or got hurt at the very beginning of the game.
We were missing a lot of players then. I didn't even realize that. I was going to ask you what happened to Eli Stove.
He got hurt at the beginning of the game. Shivers got hurt last week and tried to go in warm-ups and didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Simpson was out. So that was a problem.
And then Smoke. I mean, it was just like we were down a whole bunch of starters very quickly then. My gosh.
Yeah. But so I think, in terms of the passing game thing you were talking about, like it quickly became evident that, you know, Seth was having a hard time getting open. And the game plan was to get the ball to Schwartz. And he had the two long, you know, attempts to Schwartz and Bo overthrew him. And but otherwise, you know, what we were doing to get the ball to Schwartz wasn't working.
No. So. Not much was.
No. And the bottom line is that I was, you know, being facetious with the we got our ass kicked thing, but it's the truth. Like, our offensive line, you know, absolutely got pushed around, and our defensive line got pushed around. And it's been a couple of years since we've seen both of Auburn's lines absolutely get abused like that. So
it looked to me like in the first quarter, Georgia was the team that hadn't beaten us but like once or twice in a decade, and they were playing angry and determined. And we looked like we were just sort of reacting and uncertain and indecisive, it felt like.
Tentative.
Yeah, that's the word. It felt like every time they handed the ball off, their running backs ran like locomotives. I mean, one of the things that we were proud of against Kentucky was that we actually tackled very well. But it took three or four guys to stop their running backs. We made them look like NFL All-Pros. And even then, they'd bust loose and still get loose and get three or four more yards, you know? I mean, it was like the third or fourth man that would make the final stop every time they ran the ball, it felt like.
Yeah, that I have to be honest. Like, the offensive line thing, you know, once it happened, I was like, okay, that was predictable. But the defensive line getting blown up again and again and again and opening huge holes and failing to contain the edge and that kind of stuff, that was really tough for me.
Yeah.
They got pushed all over the field. Georgia's offensive line beat them up and pushed them around. And a lot of what you're talking about is on a lot of Georgia's running plays, their offensive lineman like pushed the defensive lineman out of the way and then left him and went and hit the linebacker. And so like the two leading tacklers in the game were Sherwood and Jordan Peters, the two safeties, because Monday didn't play. And they made almost all the tackles because the other guys were getting pushed on. They were getting blown out of the way. So
Yeah, it did. It always felt like it was about the fourth man to the ball that actually made the play, that made the tackle. It I know they were blocked and they were pushed around and everything, but it seemed like the Georgia running backs were just determined to go forward, and they were falling forward and driving forward, and it seemed like our defensive players just kind of like couldn't get their hands on them and couldn't get them down, couldn't hang on to them. I've never seen anything like it, not lately.
You know what I think it was?
Hmm.
I think somebody told Zamir White about that pan flute music.
Well, let me just say to Mr. White now, it's Mr. White, so you know what they say about those Georgia running backs? They're everywhere. But I'll just go ahead and say, sir, you are the master of the pan flute. You are. I defer all pan flute knowledge to you. You have proved yourself worthy, so there you go. Congratulations.
I just want to take a minute and go back to the very beginning of the game, because I think you're right. The beginning of the game set the tone. Georgia coming out the aggressor. So here's the first couple series, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia gets the ball first. We actually stopped them. They had to punt. Did not get a first down. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They punt to us. False start.
Yeah.
Second false start. Okay? First series of the game.
Didn't they have some, too, and it was like several in a row or something?
They did, and I think that contributed to them punting, maybe. But they, so we had two in a row, you know, false starts. Then on the very first play is, you know, Jared feels pressure, even though it's not really there, and runs up the middle and gets tackled immediately.
Who?
Sorry, Bo Nix.
Oh, Bo, okay. I thought for
thinking
a minute.
About Stidham for a minute. And then third and nine, he throws that pass that got tipped and almost intercepted.
Mm-hmm.
Tipped up in the air. So then we punt the ball, and on the punt right then, that's when Smoke Monday gets thrown out for targeting.
Yep.
So, you know, we've done nothing on offense. They got a lot of pressure on Bo Nix. We punt the ball. Monday gets thrown out. And now it's Georgia has good field position because of that penalty after the punt, right? And but on the first two plays, we stop them. It's third and 10 for Georgia, and they haven't done anything on offense yet, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, one of the biggest plays in the game. It's third and 10, and both Auburn defensive ends get loose and come upfield. And Big Cat Bryant absolutely loses containment, and Bennett kind of rolls around behind him on the left-hand side and gets away and throws a like 15-yard pass for a first down.
Oh, yeah.
He had no business getting away from Big Cat Bryant. Big Cat Bryant had the edge, and he's a bigger, faster guy, and Bennett kind of set him up and rolled away from him. That was a gigantic play in the game. Like, Bryant should be able to contain him and get the sack, and that guy got away. They get a first down, and then they drive down and score. And, of course, their goal line playing is put two athletic defensive linemen in the game, and we can't block them, and we get blown out of the way, and they score. Mm-hmm. And then we get the ball back and drive down, and our goal line playing is run Bo Nix, you know, twice, and then throw the ball sideways to Schwartz. That was our goal line plan.
Yeah, that was really strange.
I hated that part.
That was vintage Gus, honestly. Do something weird. Get down to the. Remember, it reminds me of like every year after 2013. We were complaining about this as early as 2014. Remember the problem with the 2014 team.
Yep.
As great as an offense as that team had, for most of the season, they'd get to the red zone and bog down and kick a field goal because they would get down the red zone and try doing some kind of horizontal stuff, and they'd mess around and throw incomplete passes and everything. And, yeah, I mean, it's been frustrating for a decade now.
So, and then on the other side of the ball, like, our defense, they had pressure on Bo Nix, like, more than 50% of the plays. They got quarterback pressures. I think Bo Nix had 44 pass attempts, and they had quarterback pressure like 28 times.
Jeez.
They were literally in the backfield all night long.
Yep.
We couldn't block them at all. And on the other side, we basically got zero pressure on their quarterback.
No.
Like you're saying, like the running backs, we were hitting them 5 yards up the field. We never hit them in the backfield.
Mm-mm.
We never disrupted them before they got a full head of steam up. And we never bothered Bennett when he was standing back there throwing the ball.
No, and those are all very critical problems. Those are the kind of things that when you're playing a lesser team or an equal team, you have a good chance of winning and maybe blowing them out. But when you play a really good team, you just almost have no chance.
Yeah, that's right. So, the only bright spot on offense was Tank Bigsby. He showed me something in this game. He really did. But the other piece we have to say is, okay, Shivers was hurt. Where were the other running backs?
I did see they said that Mark Anthony was still learning the playbook, they said.
Yeah, okay. He's been on the team for 2 years or whatever. I know it's a new offense, but that was in the playbook arrived in March or whatever.
Yeah, that's not good.
And I get it, a lot of it's by Zoom, but so we played, you know, two running backs, but only Tank Bigsby touched the ball.
Well, I think that Williams caught a pass, didn't he?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay, the only people that ran for Auburn were Tank Bigsby, Bo Nix, J.J. Pegues, and one for Schwartz, okay? You're right. Williams did catch one pass for -4 yards.
-4.
Yeah. So, I mean, what happened to the we-have-a-committee-of-running-backs thing? I felt like we, I mean, again, we didn't try to run the ball very much, which I think in hindsight was a little bit of a mistake, but we,
so, you know, so one running
take.
One running back was hurt, one was MIA, and one was negative 4 yards, and then there was Tank. So,
yeah.
But hey,
at, Tank was everything.
At least Tank got 7 more yards than Bo. It would have been pretty horrifying if Bo was our leading rusher again. That at that point, you know something's just wrong.
That's the truth.
Well, did I mean I? Do you think that they did that? Did they do that particular strategy on offense? I mean, I'm assuming they did it because they felt like that gave us the best chance to win, you know, proverbially.
You're talking about the playing Tank all the time?
No, I mean, just doing all these little weird passes and stuff, and I don't know.
Again,
I mean,
I think, so Shivers was, you know, questionable, and he was ruled out in pregame. And but Eli Stove supposedly got hurt at the beginning of the game. I didn't see it.
I didn't either.
So some part of the, you know, playbook was designed to go to him, but then his place was basically taken by a true freshman, right? So I watched the game again, which I'm I'm the same person, but I when I watched it again, I had recorded the regular version and like the because it was the mega cast on Saturday night or whatever, they had the kind of the camera over the field. It's just that version the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
No ESPN talking heads or, you know, special graphics, or just that camera the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked watching it that way, and I watched it again. And but, you know, I didn't see a lot of the kind of things I wanted to see. Some of the time there were guys that were open and Bo didn't see them because he was running for his life. And sometimes guys were open, but Bo ran one way and the guy open short was the other way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy open short is running to the right and Bo sprints to the left.
Yeah.
Or the reverse. So that kind of thing, those kind of things, some of those things were there, whether they were running backs or tight ends or receivers or whatever. But yeah, I think we didn't have enough time to do anything. The other thing is when you're getting killed up front, we didn't do the thing where we brought in extra blockers to protect him. Do you know what I'm saying? We didn't try to bring in the very few times where the tight ends like attached to the tackle and helping block. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's right. It was
they were out. They were in the game, but they were spread out wide.
It was survey and chuck it, which I hate.
Yep.
I want to read you our four rushing leaders in this game, because these are the only four that rushed the ball. Here is their average per carry. This is the average yards per carry of the four players that ran with the ball in this game. Tank, 3.9. Okay. Bo Nix, 0.7. JJP, 2. And Schwartz, negative 4. So our four averages were 3.9, 0.7, 2.0, and negative 4. That's not good. Total yards rushing, 65.
It's not going to win any SEC games.
Now, oh, wait. But you take out the net loss, and our net rushing yards were 39. And this is a game that Mississippi State's current coach did not coach. You can have 39 yards rushing if you had 600 yards passing. John, I don't know if you heard, we did not have 600 yards passing in this game.
We did not. I got some other good numbers here for you. Ready?
All right.
Auburn averaged 2.8 yards on first down.
Mm.
Georgia averaged 6.6.
Yep. I'm going to say it's got to be over 5. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
They had over 200 yards net rushing.
Mm-hmm. So, and again, like it probably could have been a lot worse. But I think they slowed down in the second half because they weren't worried about us scoring, honestly. And so I want to go back to what I was saying a minute ago. Like the offensive line being a work in progress and not being a strength at this point of the season and having problems with the best defense in college football this year. Okay, fine. I get that. I can accept that our offense struggled because the offensive line got overwhelmed. But the harder part for me is the fact that our defense got pushed around and run over. And
it did.
And we, you know, with a walk-on quarterback or whatever, that they chopped us up into little pieces. So, and I know we were missing guys, and I think it mattered. Like, I think, you know, people say it did matter, but I think losing Smoke Monday at that moment was a big psychological blow when Simpson was already out and stuff. So, I think it did matter. But the other side is, you know, the front guys got their ass kicked. And, you know, KJ Britt was a warrior, and he was trying to stand in there and stuff, but he got, you know, trampled about 20 times in that game. So here's the good news from the, you know, that I could take away from this. A, Tank Bigsby's good, and he's going to be a really, really good player before he leaves Auburn. I mean, he's clearly the best, most talented running back we've had since Kerryon. And two, we're not going to play any defenses that are anywhere close to that. Alabama's defense is good. They're not as good as Georgia's, and nobody else is on the same planet with them.
How did we have the ball one time in the fourth quarter? I'm just looking at the drive chart on that page that you had. There are only three drives in the third quarter and three in the fourth. That doesn't seem right. So Georgia started the fourth quarter on the interception, and they held the ball for 8:06, and they kicked a field goal. And then we got it, and we punted, and then that was it, apparently.
Yep. I mean, it was some long drives where both teams held the ball a long time.
Yeah, Georgia had the ball 7 minutes to start the fourth quarter. We had it for three, and then they had it for almost five, and that was it. They just kind of squeezed the life out of the game in the second half. I mean, I was getting ready to say, well, hey, you know, at least we kind of tied them in the second half 3-3. Well, because they got us in the old Anaconda – and squeeze the life out of us. Jeez.
Yep.
Well, I don't know.
We have plenty of listener questions about this game, so we can come back.
All right, well, let's do that. Yeah, I just honestly, I mean, I don't have a lot to say. If you talk to me, you know, Saturday night, I was just going, I don't even want to think about it. It just makes me sick. I'm just mad, you know. If you'd asked me yesterday, I was like, I'm half of me says we knew this was coming. We knew the offensive line was being overhauled from nothing. We knew the defensive line was kind of starting over, and we knew the running backs were still a work in progress. They have potential, but not so far, you know, clearly at all. And with no offensive line, it doesn't really matter. But the other half of me was like, fire everybody, clean house. I just am tired of this kind of same outcome. But then I would go back and say, well, this is one of the best teams, and how do you expect to be able to go into the house of a team that has recruited the way Georgia has the last 4 or 5 years? Why should we expect? You know, why? This is, I mean, I want to be able to, so that's part of it, right? Part of this equation I'm describing to you is I would like to be a fan of an Auburn program that is able to go into anybody's house in the country and have a legitimate chance to win, and everybody knows it going in. But when you look at this objectively, look at Georgia's recruiting, look at their record the last 4 or 5 years, look at all the five stars they have on the field, look at the caliber of their coaching staff. We're in their house. They had way more fans all jammed in there than they had any right to do. And you say, why did we think we were going to win this? I mean, I know we have a lot of good players, and we felt good coming out of the Kentucky game to a certain degree. And we're Auburn. We always think we're going to win or have a chance to win. But, I mean, if you're being really realistic, you know, I mean, people are all up in arms and furious and fire everybody because we didn't beat a top five team with the best defense in the country. I mean, did we? I just don't know what to think. I don't know how to address that. I mean, you know,
you are correct in the sense that, like, a lot of Auburn fans had talked themselves into this game.
Yeah.
But Auburn was still a 7-point underdog on Saturday. So
I just feel like some of us live in an era when we used to beat Georgia pretty regularly, at least 50% of the time, if not more, certainly in Athens. And we still act like that's who we are and who they are. And I think we're still a pretty good program, but Georgia has gone from being, you know, like the fourth or fifth best team in the SEC like they used to be. Georgia is now easily the second best program in the SEC most of the time. And I know that that sucks and we don't want to have to admit it, but they were beating us regularly when they weren't a few years ago, you know. So, you know, if you want to be mystified by Georgia beating us, go back 10 or 15 years and figure out why Tuberville lost four in a row to them. But don't be mystified right now. They're not doing this with smoke and mirrors. They're doing this with five-star players and good coaches.
And that's the other piece. Like, I didn't think there was a whole lot of scheme involved in the what happened in that game. So
no, it just was. They just lined up and whipped us in a way that we should have realized. So, choke myself. Excuse me. I'm dying here.
Choked up, man. It's all right.
I was choked up on Saturday. I'll tell you that. Well, we should have a whole bunch of players back, hopefully, right? I mean, like I said, we were down so many players by halftime, for crying out loud.
I hope so. I haven't heard anything about the guys who, you know, Shivers and Stove and Simpson and those guys. We don't know whether they're back or not.
Yeah. What about Arkansas? Clearly, they're better.
Yeah, this is where we got to put the warning siren on, man.
I don't have a. Well, are we the 11 o'clock game this week?
Yeah.
The 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
Actually, I was wrong with that.
And I say you.
We're at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock.
Blame yourself.
Central. Yeah, you can blame me.
I don't have facts to back this up.
We're not the Jefferson.
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Like Albert, Arkansas is the Jefferson Pilot game.
It ought to be in perpetuity. That's just kind of how I think of it.
I agree.
The only Auburn, Arkansas game that was ever not that was the 2010 game. That was the epic of all time. Other than that, it should usually be the 11 o'clock Jefferson Pilot game.
I think they're just being merciful because we're going to have so many other games that are the Jefferson Pilot game.
Yeah, well, that's we will now. We will now. Oh, boy.
But, yes, Arkansas is clearly much better than they were last year. They're not a
– yay.
You know, the dregs, the worst SEC team in years. They are better coached and they're playing better, executing better. You know, again, they hung with Georgia for a half and then they beat Mississippi State last week. So that's their first SEC win in several years. And while Auburn is a big favorite in this game, we should not. And that this is a game that matters to Gus and to Chad Morris. It matters to the Arkansas players to beat Chad Morris. They are going to be fired up in this game.
Oh, yay. That's all we need is another team with reason to really want to kill us, right?
There you go. So I'm just don't go into Saturday with the assumption that we're going to roll up and down the field and blow them out of the stadium. That's my suggestion.
Oh, boy.
They're not great in anything, but they're better at everything than they have been before. And I think they're solid on defense. They're okay. I mean, again, they're not on the same planet as Georgia, but, you know, they're okay.
Well, I said before the Georgia game, if we were ever going to beat Georgia, this seemed like the year. So I guess the answer is we're never going to beat Georgia.
Oh, God.
I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it, but I guess I kind of, at least for right now, I mean, you know, it seems like we're just always waiting for teams to stop being great and go down. We waited for Alabama, and then we waited for Florida, and now we waited for Alabama again, now we're waiting for Georgia. We're always waiting for those other teams that pop up and are suddenly really good for several years to get over their run, and I just feel myself aging waiting for these different teams to stop being good and give us a turn, you know? It's like we're standing in line at the Win the SEC Mart, and it's always somebody else's turn, and we're just standing there waiting in line patiently, you know? So I'm texting my wife, Alabama's going in again, dang it. I'm still standing here.
Alabama's on the ride again.
Oh, jeez. How'd they get ahead of me again? How'd they break? They're cutting in line, man. They're cutting. Well, Let's break down Arkansas a little bit. I don't know much about this new and improved Arkansas, so why don't you educate us a little bit on what this team is and what we should be looking out for?
All right, so again, the defense is coached by Barry Odom, the former Missouri coach, so they should look familiar you know, to the style that Missouri played when we played them up there a couple years ago.
That'd be
fine.
He's
doing a good job with them defensively. He did a good job last week against Mississippi State. Their best player is a linebacker on defense named Bumper Poole.
Oh, yeah.
which is spectacular. I think we can take advantage of them in pass defense. I really think we could get them there. But, I mean, again, that seems stupid to say after the Mississippi State game. But I think we can, you know, mix it up with them and win some one-on-one battles with their secondary. And then I think – offensively, they have Felipe Franks, the former Florida quarterback.
Oh, yeah. That's what happened to him.
Running the show. And the offensive coordinator is Kendall Briles.
Oh, boy.
The former Baylor coach. And so you're going to see some of the Baylor kind of stuff. They put the wide receivers all the way outside the numbers, and then they use that to try to make the safeties commit to the outside. And then they'll run the ball. And then if you stay inside, then they'll throw the ball to those outside guys and stuff. So it's you know, they and Ole Miss are kind of doing that. Ole Miss is a lot more effective because they have better players. But something to watch for Saturday. And
John, that's interesting to me, and I want to get your opinion on this. I've heard two different views like that lately. I was hearing for the last couple of years that this brilliantly innovative Baylor offense that the Briles father and son put together, which is about spreading the field. It's not just the spread. It's like the Uber spread, right, where you're using all 50 yards of the width of the field to kind of break the defense up and force them to, you know, go one way or the other. They can't really do both when you're spreading them that wide. On the other hand, I've been hearing the last few weeks the praises being sung of these bunch formations where you put everybody in tight and do stuff. So what is that all about now?
I think it's the bunch thing is an old school thing that people have been doing in football for a time about, you know, you put the receivers together and then they spread out and you have them cross and twist and that kind of stuff. So the defense gets confused about who's covering who, right?
Yeah.
When they come out, is the idea you split everybody up and then somebody comes out open and the quarterback hits that guy. The other thing that teams are doing a lot now is when you have a real stud receiver, like, and we saw Auburn do this some with Seth Williams.
Oh, yeah.
You put three guys on the other side of the formation and him by himself on the lone side of the formation, and or even four guys on the other side of the formation.
I was going to say, you know, we've done that. We did that 20 years ago.
Yeah. And that was the Ronnie Daniels.
Yes.
So that,
oh, I loved it.
So Florida does that with their big tight end Kyle Pitts now all the time. So Auburn's doing this some with Seth. On Saturday, a lot of times we motion the running back out of the backfield tank to the side away from Seth Williams to kind of pull another defender away to the wider side of the field and then have Seth have one-on-one. So I think we're doing that kind of thing more. But the part of the Baylor thing is about actually creating room to run the ball. To make the defense play wider and have wider splits so then it's easier to run the ball is part of the idea. Have fewer guys in the box, whatever. But it all comes back to you got to have good players, too, and you got to be able to execute. And, regardless of who we play, Auburn's offensive line is going to play a lot better for us to move the ball up and down the field and people score points. I mean, I think we got to settle on five guys. We were still rotating guys Saturday, and we got to execute on offense, and we got to get the ball to some other people. I mean, I just think like it's the Seth and Tank Bigsby show right now, and I think, you know, I want to see some other stuff happen, and I don't want to see Bo Nix, you know, running the ball in like a power sweep. There was a little too much of that in the Georgia game for me.
Yeah, I really didn't understand in either of these first two games why they kind of went with Bo as like our primary running attack. That just seemed weird. I mean, I know he can, but to me that seems like an emergency thing, not like your featured play. He's not Cam. With Cam, that was like option number one, but that should be like option, huh? Yeah, or, yeah. It should be like option 10 with Bo, and it seemed like it was option one way too often, and I just don't understand.
I
guess I'm just going to have to learn this whole offense that we have now, because I so far really don't understand it. There have been some things about it I liked.
I don't think we've seen close to the full picture, but I think, you know, they need to show us something different.
I mean, I appreciate the way the passing game works a lot better. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But everything else is just opaque so far.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, what do we think about Arkansas then, kind of overall? Or what did you not hit on?
I think Auburn's better. And I think, you know, Arkansas is solid. They've improved, but they're still not in the same place as Auburn. But it's not – the gap is much smaller than it was. And Auburn can't go into this game missing a bunch of guys and screwing around, or it's going to be close in the second half. I mean, I think Auburn should go, you know, take care of business and win the game, like, you know, 30-17 or 30-20 or something, right? But they, you know, they can't go in there and kind of dilly-dally around and let Arkansas hang around. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is the other thing I was thinking a lot about this weekend is the psychological effect of the SEC schedule.
Yeah.
It's tough. Because this is the, you know, prepare yourselves now, okay? The three bad teams are all at the bottom of the East, and we don't play them.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, the good teams, the bottom teams, the SEC West, are much better, I think. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas are much better.
Yeah.
You know, Vanderbilt and Missouri are terrible.
Well, we've got 3 weeks now to try to get a little better, and we're going up against teams. Any one of these three could beat us. There's no doubt about that. Any one of them.
Yes.
We could go 0-3, and then, I mean, Katie bar the door. But it doesn't get any easier after that, so we better, if we're going to win, we need to get the job done the next 3 weeks.
If we're going to get the offense figured out, now is the time. This is it. We got it right now. You know, we got to start making the offense better.
Honestly, after these next three, there's, from what we know now, there's not a team left on our schedule I feel confident that, I mean, there are teams I feel like we will play well and that we absolutely have a good chance to beat, but there aren't any that's a win, you know what I mean? There's not a Vanderbilt,
right.
It's, yes. Or anything like that. It's after the next three, we got LSU, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Alabama, Texas A&M.
Yeah, Tennessee's good.
Tennessee is good. Mississippi State, depending on how they play, can be very, very good. LSU, depending on how they play, can be very, very good. Texas A&M can be very, very good. And then, of course, Alabama speaks for themselves. So, and it's in Tuscaloosa. So I'm sure they'll have it down to a very carefully, socially distant 65,000 for that game.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
So, yeah, it's funny. Before Saturday, we were talking about how, man, if we can beat Georgia, look how that schedule just opens up for us all the way to the end. And now I'm looking at it and going, good Lord, we've got to win the next three, or we could go like 2-8, you know, yeah. If that.
Well, we got some listener questions about this, so I'll save that one.
All right, so let's see. Anything else about Arkansas? I honestly, like I said, I haven't looked at Arkansas. I've been trying to pretend football doesn't exist the last 24, 48 hours.
No, other than I think in hindsight, Pittman's done a good job. Like, he's got them up off the mat and playing well.
Yeah. Well, that's just great.
Here's the similar thing. Like, Auburn has much more talent than them, okay, than Arkansas. We ought to be able to push them around.
Yeah.
So now we got to go ahead and execute that.
Yeah, one would think. One would think.
Well, we do. So we'd have to just go use it now.
All right. Well, I'm sure more stuff will come up in the questions here, but before we go on all night, just about the agony that was Saturday and having to figure out how to play the barbecue, let's go ahead and point out, we do not do commercials. We don't do ads on our show. If we ever did, we maybe did a little bit once, but we don't really do anymore. And instead, we depend on you, our listeners, to keep us on the air. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet and get straight to the patrons that deserve to be praised publicly. If you want to join their ranks, go to www.auwishbone.com and sign up. And please don't everybody jump overboard on the first time we lose, because I really don't want to have to be like trying to pay the bills for our shows in the next few weeks and like, oh man, Auburn lost a game and all of our patrons have dived overboard. We love Auburn when we win. We love Auburn when we lose. That's what makes us different. We got to hang in there and hang tough, and we'll get it back together. So thanks to the folks who are currently keeping us afloat. And all I got to do is click on this little button here, and it's going to, Patreon's being very slow. This is great. See, this is what we want. Good radio, good audio right here is when you go to the when you go to the website that actually shows you everybody's name, and it just is a blank page. So it's kind of like the Auburn offensive game plan just opened up, and it's just up. It's just going around and around and around. I can't get it to come up. I don't know why. Well, I don't know what it's doing, but we'll come back to it. I'll break it. I'll interrupt programming, but while we're awaiting programming, we do have an SEC. What? Hold on a minute. It just said no users. Did everybody drop on us at once? Oh, no.
That's a system error.
We lost all of our patrons at once. Let's have an SEC power poll update. And if we have zero patrons, then I guess you got no votes.
We got lots of votes.
Ah, whew. Okay. I hope they didn't all quit after that. So tell us how it came out.
All right. So the bottom two, in a distant bottom two, are Vanderbilt and Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of by itself is South Carolina.
Yeah.
Then Kentucky and Arkansas together.
Interesting. That's a little disturbing right there, my friend.
Okay. Then Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Texas A&M together. The middle, kind of middle tier.
Yeah, okay. All right, I hear you.
Then Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee in a tier.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then Florida, then Georgia, then Alabama.
So in that order, Florida 3, Georgia 2.
Bama 1.
Yes. Alabama 1. How would you rank them, those three, right now? I know we don't have a lot of information.
I'd rank them that way. I mean, again, I think Florida's defense is still...
Yeah, that's true.
Good. I mean, I think Alabama's the best team. I think they're the most complete team. I think Georgia's defense is the best individual unit that anybody has.
Yeah.
But I think Alabama's more balanced. And they still got Najee Harris. They got, you know, two great receivers and some new guy caught a bunch of passes this weekend. And the defense is honestly better than it was last year. It's not what you wanted to hear, but that's what it
is. Well, meanwhile, we have a superhero battle comparison from Jared with hopefully an Eagle update. And so, I kid you not, it just quit going around again and it says, you don't have any patrons. Learn how to get patrons. What? Okay, somebody has clearly hacked the Patreon site because it says we don't have any patrons. This is not good. Man, I knew people would be unhappy, but dang, man. All right, well, anyway, let's go to Jared. This is like terrible radio. I apologize to all our listeners who are just, this is like the worst show we've ever done. Yeah, no users. It says it says I have a filter on. I don't have a filter on. I don't know what it's talking about. Well, anyway, let's go to Jared. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Jared. I'm just trying my best to get the patrons' names up so I can thank them, and it's just not letting me. So let's see what Jared's got for us. Here we go.
Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, with your Auburn Cinematic Battles. Changing it up a little bit this week because as I watched the Auburn-Georgia game, I couldn't help but think of it as the first fight between Rocky and Clubber Lang in Rocky III. For those of you who may not remember, Clubber Lang actually defeated Rocky fairly soundly in their opening bout of Rocky III. Because Rocky was ill-prepared, and that's unfortunately the way I felt about the game on Saturday. I felt like Auburn was just ill-prepared. Georgia's Clubber Lang came in there with the eye of the tiger, if you will. They wanted it more. They executed better on just about every level. We were left on the mat like Rocky Balboa. But the good news is the Rocky Balboa story rarely ever ends with Rocky left on the mat, so I'm ready for us to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and get back into the ring.
Adrian!
I am going to check in with Pat and the Eagle. If you remember last time, Pat's Bionic Eagle Project kind of went astray.
It did.
We have a rogue Bionic Eagle now terrorizing the city. So I'm just going to get Pat on the phone real quick. Pat, listen, the Bionic Eagle thing, it went bad and he's just destroying the city. Do you have a countermeasure for that?
Yes, hit the green button over on the rack.
Okay, got it.
Oh, no.
Am I crazy, Pat, or was your countermeasure a giant bionic destructive tiger?
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
And I'm just going to assume that you have it programmed the same way as the eagle, so I probably can't control that either.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, is there anything you can...
If you need me, I'll be back from vacation in a couple of weeks.
Okay, well, thanks, man. I guess that's it for me this week. I've been Jared Albrecht, the Art Sale Artist. Back to you, Van and John and War Eagle.
You know, we think we have it bad here after we lose to Georgia, but little did we realize Jared's been unleashing bionic monsters upon the populace. And yeah, so it's like a disaster everywhere. I my offensive line is not working here. I can't I figured out that what it's doing is it's not even trying to bring up our patrons. For some reason, their website is bringing up like patrons in general and saying it doesn't fit. So I guess I'm just going to have to, I don't know what to do. I'll keep trying it all night. And if we get done with our show, we'll just have to apologize to everybody and say we'll have to catch you guys later. Cause it's not our fault. Yeah. I got a gateway error now. I guess the Patreon site is just like messed up. So my apologies to all the patrons. You guys, I'm sorry. I'll thank you all next week, I promise. And we'll thank you on the next White Rocket show, of course, as we always do too. So, you know, my bad, but it's just messed up tonight and everybody's probably tired of hearing me talk about it. So let us instead push this here button.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, 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 on the AU Wishbone podcast.
Man, I tell you, when it rains, it pours, doesn't it? Nothing's working. Nothing is working except Jared was there for us with the Eagle update. So what kind of listener questions? I shudder to ask.
All right. First question that came in, and I think this was Saturday night from John Otsuki, and he just said, why? Best, John.
Smoke weed every day.
And then he followed it up the next day and said, actually, why do we play so bad on the road against rivals? Does this team have a bad routine? Does Gus do a terrible job motivating the guys? What is it?
What was that number I saw? And that may be another question that you've received, but he has never beaten LSU, Alabama, or Georgia away from home, has he, Gus?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean,
no,
even
we beat Alabama. It was like 2010, right?
Yeah, that was the last time we won there, and it's been 15 years since Athens.
LSU, and we know we hadn't won in Georgia.
So. The last time we beat LSU in Baton Rouge was 99. It hadn't been there this century. So, yeah, that's not good.
It's enough.
I don't know. I don't know why. I wish I did. I mean, our team really feeds on the crowd a lot, don't you think? They always have.
No, but there are plenty of good college ball teams that can be prepared and go in and play well in a road environment. I think in particular our offense kind of doesn't travel well for some reason, right? I mean, our defense seems normally plays well on the road.
But. This game reminded me in some ways of the Florida game last year where the offense just didn't work. Our defense got pushed around and the first half was just a nightmare.
I mean, again, but I think in that game the defense played better and the substitute Bo Nix for the offensive line is the point of failure. But
yeah.
All right. Lots more questions. Next one is from Samuel Salvatore, who says, does it seem that Athens is just a brick wall no matter what Georgia is and no matter what Auburn is? Doesn't it seem odd that you've been owned for 13 of the last 16 games by Georgia and Auburn doesn't seem to show fight or anger about it? What is the deal with no motivation?
Yeah, that's
he says, that's good. I think Arkansas is beating us next week. Sorry, but our offensive line is a train wreck and our defense is soft. War Eagle is still all.
And we knew that the offensive line day was coming. We knew this day was coming is what I'm trying to say. We've known for several years now. You could just look ahead and go, you know, dude, we haven't got anything coming up hardly behind this current crowd. We haven't recruited well. It's like we spent 4 or 5 years not recruiting for the offensive line, and then we spent like the last 2 years going, oh my gosh, we've got to frantically find some warm bodies. Well, it's a little late in the game, don't you think?
Yeah. No, and we're paying for that right now. Again, like there's some experienced guys out there, but they're not, I don't know how many of them are super talented. And again, we talked about in the preseason, like pass deep blocking might be a weakness and run blocking might be better, but we're not doing that. We're pass blocking all the time.
All the time.
And not run blocking, you know?
Yeah.
So we're kind of playing into their weakness.
Yep.
I'm going to say this is stupid. It makes me appreciate the offensive line we had last year because they could pass block at least.
They could, a little bit.
Dan Thompson's question is, should we move to the ACC or the Big 12?
Well, we're playing like the Big 12, honestly. If we went to the ACC, we know we could finish, you know, third or fourth every year at least, at the worst.
That's fair.
If Dabo was our coach for the last two or three years, Dabo Swinney, would we be winning the SEC or would we still be what we are now? I think we'd still be what we are now, honestly.
I think we'd be winning, but we'll see. I don't know. That's a good question. Next question is from Eric at Wargas Eagle on Twitter. He says, two things I'm more upset about after allowing some time to pass. Number one, the lack of targeting call or even review on the J.J. Pegues incompletion.
Yep, I thought it immediately at the time.
Yeah, it should have been targeting. That Georgia guy nailed him in the head. And that was an insane idea to throw a downfield pass to the 300-pound tight end, but... He got hit in the head. And then number two, settling for a field goal late in the first half, already down by three scores. Yeah.
Bo
Nix was mad. I was mad. It was a very, like, we don't want to get shut out kind of move.
It was. It's like you already knew. But honestly, I wasn't that upset because I could already – I mean, it's not like I felt like we were going to suddenly pull a cam back. You know, it was the score was looking like 2010 at Alabama, but I didn't see Cam out there, you know, suddenly completing 70-yard passes and, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah. The next email is from Pete Cleveland. He's in the Auburn class of 1999, and he said, on one of our recent episodes, you talked about some time the students carried the goalpost around inside the student section. He says, I was one of those students. It was the 1997 Iron Bowl,
yep,
which was a come-from-behind, last-second field goal win, so the crowd was really jazzed. They didn't allow any fans to rush the field, so some of the players tore down the goalpost themselves, the one in front of the student section. A bunch of students were cheering them on, and they started shouting, carrying the goalpost with them on the field. They eventually carried it over to us, and we gladly took it and started carrying it up the bleachers to the top of the lower deck.
Yep.
And then we heard the PA announcer say something like, please do not throw the goalpost out of the stadium.
Right. Yeah, well, my dad was horrifiedly laughing about that. Because he said that Carl Stevens said, you're going to kill somebody. Which probably was true.
Very, very true. He says, I enjoy your podcast. You guys do a good job providing serious analysis in a not too serious manner.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
In his follow-up, he said, this rivalry is starting to him feel a little bit like Michigan-Ohio State. We're in Michigan.
God, just making me sick to think about that.
Yep. All right. So the next email is from Ben Spooner.
Mm-hmm.
I always appreciate Ben. And his email, the subject line is the Deep South Debacle.
Yeah.
So he says, guys, first talk me off the ledge from disavowing Auburn permanently. As a Georgia resident, born and raised, the last 20 years have been an unmitigated disaster in this rivalry. We've gone undefeated twice and played for two national titles, but are 6-15 against Georgia since 2001. Why is it we haven't been consistently competitive against them in 15 years? I know Darth Saban consumes a lot of oxygen in the room, but Georgia has been only a step behind them for his entire tenure. Considering Georgia is consistently one of the top two states for blue chip talent annually, how will we continually and effectively recruit against Georgia and Alabama? As an Auburn fan, I expect to demand our ancient rivals get beat or we split with them.
Yeah.
Bama is Bama, and getting wins there is spectacular, but beating Georgia is now seemingly only a pipe dream. That game means more to us that live in Georgia than even Alabama, since it's the one the fan bases take abuse from. We can wave 2010 all we want to remind them that they haven't had a national title in 40 years, but they now own the series and beat Auburn routinely with relative ease. We look lost, tired, and unmotivated Saturday. Rebounding is possible, but I'm seriously disillusioned with that considering our current leadership help from a desperate ledge clinger. P.S. Love the show as always, Ben Spooner.
No, I think that's well put. I don't know what to say. I will say I was very lucky that I moved away from Georgia after the 2005 game and before the 2006. And 2006 is when it all went to hell in a handbasket.
It's your fault.
Yes. I was at every one of those wins, 93, 95, 97, 99, 01.
Sensing a trend.
I was at every one of those games, and then after 05, I moved to Illinois, and I've been up here for 06, 07, 08, 09, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20. There you go. But no, I thought he summed it up.
You want to hear something incredibly depressing?
What?
Auburn has the same record against Georgia in the last 12 years, I think, as Vanderbilt.
Well, yeah, we also have a losing record against Vanderbilt, but that's a whole other story.
I know that, but I...
Yes, but you're
about Georgia.
Your point is well made. Yes, that's true.
All right, our next question is from Ryan Brown, who says, hey, guys, I think winning the national championship in 2010, then going back so soon 2013, tricked us into thinking we were writing a new chapter of Auburn football history, one where we would be in contention for a title almost every year. One where we break from this constant pattern of having one unexpected amazing season followed by a whole lot of 8-5. Despite the schedule and geography being stacked against us, I think what fuels a lot of Auburn fans' current ire with Gus is the notion in the back of our minds that we failed to capitalize on the success of 2010 and 13 and let the likes of Georgia, which is doing pretty terrible in 2013 and 16, become the perennial contenders we thought we would be. While it might be smart to write off Georgia and focus on winning the West, I think Gus has underestimated how important it is to beat Georgia from a psychological, cultural, and recruiting standpoint. So two questions. What do you think means more to Auburn fans, a win against Bama or a loss against Georgia? And then the last time you mandated that we win versus Georgia in the barbecue, we dropped 40 points and beat the dog crap out of them. Can't we remember doing this next year?
did I like say we had to or something?
Yes, 17. You did say in the barbecue preview we had to beat Georgia.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't say it this time because I would have I'd been flapping my gums and wasting my breath and everybody's time. So I guess next year I'll have to
your power.
Yeah. Well, I've never claimed to have any power. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But no, that's fair. But I love that question. Which means more, beating Alabama or losing to Georgia?
Yes.
I guess I understand the premise, and let's put it this way, in isolation, if it's just 1 year by itself and I have no idea who's won the last 20 years at all, like I woke up from Captain America type coma, right? I've been frozen in ice for 20 years and I have no idea how the series is going. You tell me which would be more of an impact on me, losing a game to Georgia or beating Alabama? I'm going to say beating Alabama 7 days out of seven. It's losing to Georgia this much that's the problem. I'll trade back and forth with them.
Being competitive.
Yeah, I'll trade back and forth with Georgia. I'll go 500 with them as long as we have a year every 3 or 4 years where it's really good for the whole season's good. I'll go 500 with Georgia. That's fine. That's what we kind of used to do, but and we had no problem with it really. It's not losing to Georgia. It's losing to Georgia all the dang time. That's what's got to go. That's what's got to give. And I'll tell you, I have in some ways, John, I think this is interesting. And I know I don't want to waste too much of our time. We got a bunch of questions and everything. But I do want to say this because this occurs to me now. I think it's important. You know how I felt. And this has, this season has sort of a, I didn't realize it until now, but this season has something of a surreal atmosphere to it, even more than I thought. I mean, I knew, fans, not that many fans are going to the games and everything, but still they're playing the games and they're on TV. It's not that different. But there's really a sort of a surreal difference because I think back to when we lost that opening game to Clemson a few years ago and then lost, 16 or whatever, and then lost to Texas A&M, and that just burned my soul up. I was just furious and ready to fire Gus right then. And our longtime listeners know, right? That's how you know if we have longtime listeners or not. The ones that are not longtime listeners think I defend Gus all the time for everything and he can do no wrong. Our longtime listeners are like, he wanted to fire Gus in 2016. Okay. This, I don't know if it's just that this season is surreal and different and it all just feels kind of like it's a simulation in some ways and doesn't really count as much or what. But when that Georgia game was over Saturday night, oh yeah, I was incensed. I was miserable. I was burnt up. But on the other hand, I was just kind of numb to it. I was just kind of like, yep. You know, my attitude was like, well, my attitude was half, dang it, you know. But the other half was kind of like, yep. And so I don't know how much that is just, you know, year after year after year of the same thing, the same thing, the same thing, and how much of it is just this year. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, did you feel when this game was over like it felt like those other years when we had these big losses early in the year, like to LSU or Clemson or whatever? Or did you just kind of go, yeah, that's about it?
No, I think if I felt like that to me because I had hope.
Yeah.
You know, the hope is very dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a very dangerous drug. It should only be used in small quantities. And I took way too much of it last week, and it was tough coming down after that game.
I just go into these games now assuming, you know, I say what I say from an analytical standpoint, an objective standpoint on our previews, but when I actually sit down to watch these games, more often than not, I have kind of an attitude of, I expect we're going to lose, show me I'm wrong. And it kind of helps me get through it, honestly. And that's a bad sign. I'm not saying that's a good thing. That's a bad thing. And that's where I've been reduced to now, is show me that I'm wrong, that we're just going to lose.
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism.
It is, 100%, and it shouldn't have to be. And that's where I am right now. Okay.
So, I first of all, I found the tweet you're talking about. It's from Johnny Dent on Twitter, and he said, you know, Tuscaloosa, 10 years, Athens, 15 years, Baton Rouge, 21 years.
Good Lord.
And we can't really hope to recruit as well as any of those either, he says. I think I need to reassess my expectations.
At least for now.
But you pointed out that some of those are pre-Gus even.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he hasn't had plenty of chances to win. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. That we've had multiple games in Georgia where we had the better team and we had real chances to win and we didn't.
Yeah, Tuberville was responsible for a lot of those losses to Georgia and LSU.
Yep.
Tuberville beat LSU and Baton Rouge his first year and never again down there.
Yep. So, you know, I think it's funny. Yes, we kind of did better against Alabama, but that's so weird. But
it is.
This road thing is real, and it's going to be, you know, again, I don't even want to think about the Alabama game this year, but the Auburn's offense has to play better in these big games on the road. And it has to play better against good teams.
That's it.
You know, I mean, I want to see Auburn score 30, 35 points on a good team. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
And home, road, I don't care. We need to do that. And then we need to score. We need to do something on the road against somebody, too. So.
I feel like our offense for a long time there had some power elements to it that we could dominate and impose our will when we needed to sometimes, whether it was Trey Mason and Nick Marshall or Cam or – you know, our various running backs over the years. And I feel like now, for the last two or three years, we've become almost a Terry Bowden offense. A lot of little guys that can do things against bad teams. You know what I mean? Remember, Terry put those teams out there that score 76 against Chattanooga and 3 against Mississippi State. So that's kind of how fair. I feel. I think I am kind of ready for something different, honestly. And we could turn around and win our next, you know, 8 games. But honestly, I just, you know, after a while, you just kind of realize nothing's ever going to change unless you change it. I don't know. I didn't expect to be saying this, but this is just kind of where I'm going tonight.
Well, and again, this is what I was talking about a minute ago. Like, I think a lot of people haven't really sat down and thought about the schedule. The SEC schedule is brutal.
Yeah.
And Auburn showed that we're not a national championship contender this past weekend. We're going to play better in some other games and all that stuff. I get that. It's not the end of the world. But
hey, one of our book contributors on the mailing list said that I'm on said he thinks we're probably going to go 5-5. We'll see.
Yeah. I think 7-3 to 6-4 are real scenarios now.
Yeah.
So, All right. That's all for listener questions.
That's all the questions. Well, then let's hop in the little Volkswagen and fire it up and, you know.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
So last week, Florida, South Carolina was closer than I thought. I turned that game off and was watching other stuff. Did South Carolina kind of come back and make it closer late, or what did I miss there?
Yeah, they may have the score wrong here.
I'm not sure. I thought that game was kind of a blowout, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I mean, Florida rolled out to a big lead, and then South Carolina kind of hung around. It was 38-24.
So oh,
they
okay.
They were. I had the score wrong. It's 38-24. They won by 14, and this is the dumb part. Like, they were up 14, and South Carolina got the ball back with about 9 minutes, Van, and proceeded to run about 8 minutes off the clock, and then attempt a field goal.
Hmm.
I think it was. And they didn't call their timeouts and stuff. It was just really stupid. So anyhow,
I gotta tell you,
Florida's good. South Carolina's okay.
I got to tell you, I just clicked open the Patreon thing one more time, and it brought up our patrons, but in the wrong order. And so I tried to reorder them, and now it's just going around again. So I just give up. I give up. Sorry, guys. I'll catch you next week. It's just not cooperating. I should have just done it out of order. But Tennessee beat Missouri 35-12. Alabama just rolled over A&M. I saw a lot of that game. That wasn't pretty. Ole Miss, Kentucky went to overtime. I was listening to that one on Sirius, and Kentucky, like, scored at the very end to go to overtime, and then they missed an extra point, didn't they?
Yeah, they scored first in overtime and missed the extra point, and then Ole Miss scored the extra point. That was
sucky way to lose.
Kentucky had 400 yards of rushing in this game.
Good gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And they still lost.
Yes.
Whoa. How did Arkansas beat Mississippi State?
What did I say last week about Mississippi State's offense? They weren't going to throw for 600 yards again? Yeah. So no. Arkansas came in with a good game plan. They played a very soft zone and dropped everybody back. It kept things in front of them and tackled well. And Mississippi State quarterback Costello wasn't nearly as sharp as he was a week ago. And they, shut down their offense and beat them.
Wow. That's Mike Leach for you. Yeah. I mean, that's him in a nutshell. And then LSU just rolled over Vanderbilt, so maybe they feel like they got their house in order, their stuff together again.
They took their frustrations out.
Let's see. This week, Florida at A&M is a pretty decent game. I'll enjoy watching that one. Tennessee at Georgia. I mean, surely Georgia's going to win, but I'll be curious to see if Georgia plays better than we did.
I think it's going to be a better game than our game. I think Tennessee is much better than Auburn on the offensive line.
So. Oh boy, which is just a depressing thing to say.
It's what it is.
But all right, let's get to the end of this. And I got the patrons to come up. They're in the wrong order, but I don't care. It's the patrons, and at least it's some of them. Let's see. We got Arkansas at Auburn. We already talked about Alabama at Ole Miss. Does Ole Miss have a puncher's chance in this, or are they going to give up 70 points?
They're going to get up 70, and they might score 50. I mean, they're really good in offense. And it's just going to be fun. It's Alabama at Lane Kiffin. So, I'm in for that.
Mississippi State at Kentucky is interesting because I could see it. I could see Mississippi State coming out and throwing for 800 yards on Kentucky. But I could see Kentucky coming out and running on Mississippi State a little bit. I do feel like Mississippi State has an advantage, and Kentucky psychologically now is 0-2 and got to just be feeling like garbage, you know?
This is in Kentucky. They got to feel like they have to win this game.
Oh, it's a must-win for Mississippi State. There's no doubt about it. I just don't know if they can.
It's a must-win for both of them.
I meant for Kentucky. Yeah, it's a must-win for Kentucky. It's an absolutely must-win for Kentucky. They've got to stop the bleeding now. If they lose to Mississippi State and they're 0-3 and they still got to play probably whoever they got left in their schedule, I don't have it in front of me, but they've played Auburn and Ole Miss and Mississippi State. If they're 0-3 after that.
They still got Florida, Georgia.
So, yeah, you got to win. And then finally on Saturday.
My cold dead hands.
Lock of the week.
And this is kind of a wussy lock of the week, but we got to the end and it was all that was left. I think LSU is pretty much going to hammer Missouri. It's at LSU. They've got their feet back under them, and surely they're going to beat Missouri by 21 points at least, right?
That's it. Yeah, they're going to kill them. They're going to add, again, this is LSU getting their stuff together. They played poor in week one. They crushed Vandy last week. They're going to crush Missouri this week, and then they'll get it together before we play them, of course.
All right, gang, here are the folks we got to thank. I'm going to get this in quick. It's in the wrong order. I apologize. It's just that Patreon's website is all screwed up. Silly me for thinking that I could trust them to handle this for us. It's in the order of the order that people joined from newest to oldest, actually, which I didn't know it could do. So, Colby Butler, welcome aboard. Robert O. Sammons, Boris the Tiger, Snowdog, Wilson Beard, and Tim Pittman, and Todd Gray are all our newest folks, along with Ben Bloodworth, good old Ben, Eric Mahan, James Greenwell, Di Bama, Chris Hilton, Sarah Hines, Darius Benton, Emmanuel Seaman, Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, WDE Ritchie, Russell Souther, Paul Bankson, Joseph Iliff, Blake Heron, William Morgan, Kevin Mahan, Stephen Houston, Gary Grant, Phil Davis, Cato the Barner. Man, this is a weird order to be reading these in. John Otsuki, we had a question from him a while ago. Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Brian Gray, Preston Settle, Daniel Odom, Kevin Kenoy, AU Falling Up, Matthew Flowers, Auburn Elvis, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Trevor Johnson, Ross, David Smiley, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Winston Boddy, Donnie Reynolds, Willie Carden, and Ivor Evans. And then I pushed a little button to go to the next page, and of course, it's going to lock up and not do it. So I think in the great lottery of who gets thanked this week, it's our most recent half, because that was like the most recent half, and now it's locked up and it's not going to show me the rest. So, John, any last...
Thank you all, patrons, and...
Well, we'll catch you next time.
And the good news is we do not have to play Georgia again.
We do not have to play Georgia again. We should all just kind of sit back and...
Smoke weed every day.
No. That's not what I was trying to say, but who knows? Maybe it's... And I'll try not to look at our coaching staff and say...
You have failed me for the last time.
Anymore, because I shouldn't feel that way, and I'm just sorry, and it's just terrible. So, any last thoughts, sir?
It's been a tough week, but we got a weaker team coming in this weekend. We got to get some stuff right again so we'll feel a little better about ourselves after Saturday.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit back and chill. I'm not in any huge hurry. Last week I was like, hurry up Saturday. This week I'm like, it's coming. There's nothing I can do to stop it from coming. It's going to get here, and then we'll just see what we'll see, won't we? And we'll talk about it on Monday. So, all right. Hold on. John Zavachin, Shannon Butson, Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, Brandon Sisson, Lawrence Kane. This is what we're dealing with this week. I think that the Patreon page took a shot, got a targeting hit to the head, too. David Hegler, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo, Mickey B, Susan Trawick, Spanky. Put those two together, man. That's not easy on my voice. Chris, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Jacob and Robin Fleming. Hey, guys. Ben Amos, Jason Albrick, Stephen Thompson, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Ann Kanjian, Rob Morgan, Chris Usher, James Taylor, Samuel Salvatore, Brant Rumble, Justin Bean, Clay Henson, John Stubbs, Steve Trawick, Logan Chilton, George Gaston, Kenneth Brent Rains, Catherine England. I think there's going to be like five on the last page, and I'm just going to tell them I'm sorry. It's just going to take another 30 minutes. Ooh, that was interesting. Tony Perry, Christopher Burleson, I don't think it liked that. Nicholas Craig, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, Tom Anderson. Man, we're back to the original crowd. Now, David Evers, hey guys, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mick Vigicana, Mike Finley, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Russell Milling, Dan Thompson. I'm just going to say our time is up. We'll thank you guys later. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.